You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Ryan Pace's former team, the New Orleans Saints, offers three of the more interesting free agent quarterback options this offseason. Welcome into the Locked On Bears podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I cover the Chicago Bears for Bears Wire. I'm here to bring you your daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. Today, we'll be joined by Ross Jackson, the host of Locked On Saints, to break down the pending free agency for Drew Brees, Teddy Bridgewater, and Taysom Hill. We'll look at which of the three are most likely to hit the open market, and if they do become available, whether or not the Chicago Bears should pursue them, looking at some of the pros and cons from three different quarterbacks in three very different places in their careers. Joining us now on Locked On Bears is Ross Jackson. He is the host of Locked On Saints here on the Locked On Podcast Network, and he knows everything there is to know about this complicated New Orleans Saints quarterback position. Ross, I imagine this offseason is a little bit difficult for you to talk through on the podcast because you're not really sure what's going to happen with any of your three quarterbacks.
Well, first of all, man, thanks so much for having me on. Glad to be able to sit here and share some info with your listeners. I will say that it is, I'll call it maybe hot and cold, right? Because, yeah, there are times where I don't actually know where to go because we're essentially halfway through our expected timeline with Drew Brees. And so until that question is answered, I don't really know where to go with these other guys yet. But at the same time, I have endless things to talk about and endless things to discuss as the speculation is starting to run wild over the NFL right now in terms of what is happening with these three Saints quarterbacks.
Well, the Bears have certainly been involved in some of that speculation, but not so much with Drew Brees. And I want to start there because the quotes from him out of the Pro Bowl was, "I'm going to either play for the New Orleans Saints or I'm going to retire." Is there any reason to believe any other possibility is within the realm, or are Saints fans pretty assured that Drew Brees is either here or nowhere?
Yeah, I mean, I think the way to look at it is Drew Brees in New Orleans or nowhere. I think that's absolutely right. This is just one of those things where, look, he revitalized his career in 2006 with the Saints. He has been a stronghold for the organization and for the franchise, and the community has been so far behind him since he's been here. It's just not really a reality in which you can imagine Drew Brees playing in any other colors in the NFL. So for him, and in terms of the way that he looks at it, it's either he's back with New Orleans or he's retiring. Those are kind of the only two options. He's not really interested in going anywhere else. Now, you know, there's nothing to say that there won't be a change of heart at some point where some team offers him some absurd amount of money to go and play for them, and maybe that ends up being the option that he takes. But while it's not impossible, it's kind of hard to see and it's hard to imagine, just considering how much he has imprinted himself amongst the community of New Orleans and vice versa. This place has become very, very important to him, and so it's hard to imagine him playing anywhere else.
Well, like you said, Drew Brees is the first domino, and that's sort of what you're all waiting for in New Orleans. And I mean, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but what's sort of the next there? Like, if he comes back, What do you think the Saints, I mean, does that mean Bridgewater is gone? Could you take me through a little bit of like the decision tree? Like if Brees is gone, does that mean there's no way, or if Brees retires, does that mean Bridgewater is the guy and Taysom Hill would come back if he's cheap? Or if Brees is back, does that mean Bridgewater is gone and Hill would only come back as a backup? What's sort of the matrix there of once Brees makes a decision, what are the Saints sort of weighing from there?
Yeah. No, that's a great question. I think that really, I mean, we've talked about and we've used the phrase already, but the first domino for the Saints is going to be whether or not Drew Brees comes back, right? So if Drew Brees retires, then that opens a door for, in my opinion, Teddy Bridgewater to be your starter over the next, I would say, foreseeable future. There's a lot of talk right now about Taysom Hill being the franchise guy and him being a franchise quarterback and him being the heir apparent. But the fact of the matter, and in my opinion at least, is that if Taysom Hill was your franchise quarterback, then you had no reason to make a trade for Teddy Bridgewater to get Teddy Bridgewater in your building. And when Drew Brees was out for five games last season with a UCL injury, then Taysom Hill would have gotten those starts as opposed to Teddy Bridgewater, who ended up going 5-0 in that stretch and ran, I think, an offense that would be effective for the Saints moving forward. And then I think you can look at the potential of Teddy Bridgewater simply finding another option somewhere else that's willing to pay him better. The Saints could potentially get into a bidding war even when Drew Brees retires. But the big, you know, if Drew Brees retires, and then that might open the door for Taysom Hill. But really, for me, the way that that sort of tree goes is that Drew Brees retires, Teddy Bridgewater becomes your first option with Taysom Hill essentially hanging around as your backup. He's a restricted free agent, so he doesn't really have a choice about where he goes for this season, at least. There's potential that the Saints could put an RFA tender on him and another team could submit an offer sheet, but then the Saints would get right of first refusal there and then have the ability to keep him if they want him. Otherwise, they would get a pick back depending on which of the three tenders they choose. Now, if Drew Brees returns, then to me that signifies the potential move on for Teddy Bridgewater. And the reason why I say that is because the Saints simply won't have the money to pay both of these guys. They were lucky to get Teddy Bridgewater on a cheap enough price tag last year, even though he was still one of the highest paid backups, if not the highest paid backup in the NFL in that case. But Drew Brees is already counting $21 million against the Saints salary cap, whether he returns or stays next season, because of all the signing bonuses and the voidable years and the essential kicking the can down the road. So if Drew Brees returns, you already owe him $21 million, or $21 million already counts against your salary cap, and then you have to pay him a new contract on top of that. And honestly, Drew Brees has no reason to accept less money than he, you know, is entitled as one of the league's best quarterbacks. There's no reason for him to say, you know, I'll take a hometown discount, unless he is intent on allowing the team to continue to build and have pieces around him. So I think that with the money that you have to then invest at the quarterback position just to have Drew Brees there, I think that that gives Teddy Bridgewater the opportunity to go out and find a new job somewhere else where he can get paid to be the starter. The challenge is going to be going to a place where he can be a long-term starter, as opposed to going to an organization to where he might start for a year and then be usurped by one of the many rookie quarterbacks that are going to be drafted this year, and particularly in the 2021 draft as well, with some formidable quarterbacks coming out of that class. And in that case, that still keeps Taysom Hill around as the backup, but you would see the Saints probably bring in a veteran backup to be the absolute number two guy behind Drew Brees, allowing Taysom Hill to continue to play his role within the offense.
So we can pretty much rule out Drew Brees coming to Chicago, but what about Teddy Bridgewater or Taysom Hill? We'll look at the other two quarterbacks coming out of New Orleans next on Locked On Bears. If you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But you may not know that Locked On Bears is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Bears fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. Not just any podcast listener, though, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Chicago Bears fans and a predominantly male audience that's well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. So text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcasts.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcasts.com/advertising. Well, we're talking New Orleans Saints quarterbacks here with Ross Jackson from Locked On Saints, and I want to move to Taysom Hill now. For Chicago Bears fans that haven't watched much of the New Orleans Saints, could you go through some of the many ways that Taysom Hill is used? How do you sort of describe his role, not only on offense, but special teams?
Yeah, I mean, he's a third string quarterback that does everything but play quarterback. It's a really incredible versatility and a really incredible versatile skill set that he has. I mean, he lines up mostly at tight end for the Saints. You see him work in line as well as spread out wide as a tight end. And when he does that, he's there sometimes in run support as a blocker, but then he's also there as a pass catcher. When it came to the Saints this season, he actually had more touchdown receptions than any wide receiver not named Mike Thomas on the team. So he actually ended up being one of the best for the Saints this season. You also see him line up in the backfield when Zach Lyon ended up hurt for a while. He's now retired, but when he was hurt for a bit during the season before the Saints got pretty comfortable with their backup, Ricky Ortiz, Taysom Hill played some fullback and was a lead blocker in one play for Alvin Kamara. I mean, you can look at the It was the Minnesota game where he was just an absolute stud. Taysom Hill was in the wild card game, which the Saints ultimately lost. But you can look at a drive that started off with, you know, Taysom Hill catching a pass, and then he threw a 50-yard pass down the field to Deontay Harris, who was running down the seam, and then he ended up being the lead blocker for Alvin Kamara as he barreled into the end zone. So he did three different things to get the Saints into the end zone there. And so that's a pretty good example of how Taysom Hill can affect your game all over the place for in the offense. And then you look at what he can do as well as a slot receiver, which is pretty much just like him lining up as a tight end, but split out wide a little bit. And so you'll see him sometimes there in the H as well. And so when he's there, he's another pass catching option. And then you mentioned him as a special teamer. We've seen him block punts. We've seen him return kicks. We've seen him as a blocker. We've seen him as a gunner. I mean, you've seen him do everything pretty much over on the special team side. And that's really where he started to make a name for himself as an NFL player, is when he ended up, I think it was 2 years ago, late in the season against the Carolina Panthers, he started showing up as one of the punt coverage guys and one of the kick return coverage guys. And that's really where people started to take notice of who's that number seven quarterback that's streaking down the field and making tackles. And then, of course, he has a decent arm. I mean, the Saints like to put him in to games when they need to get a shot down the field, because Drew Brees doesn't necessarily have that arm. But because of the fact that he can run the RPOs and he can run the read options and things like that, you don't really just give away that you're putting Taysom Hill in as somebody that can throw down the field. He does have that sort of versatile skill set at that quarterback position that keeps a defense off balance.
I'm glad you mentioned throwing down the field, because of course when you talk about him as potentially a starting quarterback, that's going to be the most important thing over all those other roles. 13 career pass attempts. Have any of them, I mean, obviously you might not have each one ingrained in your memory, but generally speaking, are they more sort of trick play, you know, a quick rollout or a wide receiver reverse type throw? Or has he done like a standard drop back pass with more of a progression? Because like I think back to the NFC Championship game where it was sort of just he wasn't really reading, he was just kind of taking it and chucking it deep, and it was a big completion, but it wasn't really true quarterback play that you can necessarily replicate in a full offensive system if you're going to put him on another team. So has it mostly been, I guess, like gimmicky passing, for lack of a better word?
It's really what I would call it. And I'm actually in the midst of charting all of his passes, which again, aren't a ton of NFL passes in the regular season. So his sample size is pretty small. But so far what I'm seeing is that it's a lot of, you know, the young quarterback, you get to read half the field and make a decision based on that. And that's generally what you see Taysom Hill do when he's out there. So you're going to see a lot of check down passes because the shot play is not there. That's kind of the rotation that they put him in when he's under center. He's going to look down the field first to see if any of those inside breaking routes are becoming available, deep posts, over routes, things like that. If that's not there, and depending on the full concept that they're running, he'll look to the out, or he'll end up looking into the flats next. And then he makes a decision based on that. If he doesn't have either one of those options, it's generally just two or three. If he doesn't have either of those, then he's running. You know, he's just going to tuck it and he's going to try to run over somebody because he loves contact. But that's pretty much the rotation that he's been in so far as a passer. And some of that just has to do with the fact that he's not really had the opportunity to go out there and play full speed outside of the preseason to really develop his passing game. So I know we like to give him, you know, we like to address Taysom Hill as somebody that doesn't have a huge sample size and therefore he's not ready to be a quarterback, but at the same time, he doesn't necessarily get the opportunity to really prove that to anybody with Drew Brees under center either. So that's one of the things that makes you believe that maybe the Saints are seeing something different in practice with all of these notions that are coming out about him being, you know, a future franchise quarterback or the heir apparent. And so maybe you can see him develop a little bit further into where he's reading through multiple progressions. We've heard rumors before from receivers like Austin Carr in the preseason who claimed that he was, you know, Taysom Hill's fifth or sixth option on a play, which I don't believe at all when you look at the tape. But when you look at what he's done so far, it's just been some sort of quick half field reads before making a decision to either air it out deep, check it down, or run.
I know Taysom himself said, you know, he sees himself as a franchise quarterback. And there was that sort of publicized quote from Sean Payton not that long ago where he compared him to Steve Young, not directly, but sort of in that mold. And yet, Sean Payton, like you said, goes to Bridgewater much, much more often, pretty much every opportunity that Drew Brees has been out of the game for injury or for whatever reason. It has been Bridgewater that gets the nod over Hill. How do you sort of, what do you make of that? I mean, is it Sean Payton just trying to talk up his guys? Or in your opinion, do the actions, how much louder do the actions speak than the words? Or is there more to this that we're not hearing?
I mean, I definitely think that there's a little bit more to it in terms of the game strategy and the way that Sean Payton's trying to manage a game. I mean, when you see Drew Brees go down with an injury and then them decide to put Teddy Bridgewater in, that's an obvious vote of confidence that Teddy Bridgewater can be a starting quarterback on this team. But at the same time, you can also look at that and say, well, that is the least amount of adjustment that has to be made from one quarterback to another. When you put Taysom Hill in, you sort of go to a little bit of a philosophy change and you go to a different completely different style of football. So you look at sort of the way that we manage running backs in the league now. It's where you'll see, you know, a bruising back and then you have your usual like third down back or your quote unquote change of pace back. You can sort of think of Taysom Hill as your quote unquote change of pace quarterback, if that makes sense. While Drew Brees is immediately backed up by Teddy Bridgewater when they want to change the pace a bit or when they want to kind of throw a wrench into the game plan or throw something at the, you know, when they're going through their sort of kitchen sink style of playbooking and they want to throw something at the defense they haven't seen yet, then you see Taysom Hill take the field. Then you see the RPOs, you see the read options, you see the outside zones, you see that kind of play starting to gather with Taysom Hill on the field. And then, of course, you also end up seeing Taysom Hill as somebody that's very valuable at all of those other positions that we mentioned earlier, in the slot, in the backfield, as a fullback, as a tight end, on special teams. And so when you look at that as well, there could be some notion of preservation in the idea of putting Teddy Bridgewater out there as the backup over putting Taysom Hill out there as the backup, because you want to maintain Taysom Hill as who essentially became, outside of Michael Thomas and Jared Cook, your next best receiving option, not named Alvin Kamara in that case. And so when you look at the way that they utilized Taysom Hill, perhaps that had more to do with some of the decisions to not put him in and give him, you know, the quarterbacking opportunities at that time. However, the thing that's really interesting is that when you look over the five-game series that Teddy Bridgewater played, Taysom Hill saw fewer snaps at all of those other positions. So he wasn't really as involved in the game plan as he is when Drew Brees is under center. So that was a really interesting thing that I haven't really found a reason for, outside of maybe communication and just trying to maybe play a more ironed out version of football with Teddy Bridgewater under center, as opposed to the wrinkles that you can insert with Drew Brees under center. Maybe that has more to do with it, but it was an interesting thing to see how the game style changed a little bit with Teddy Bridgewater, but you would expect that it would change massively with Taysom Hill under center.
Yeah, it's hard to envision a team really handing the keys over to Taysom Hill, even if that's maybe the role he might envision for himself. Whereas I think the opposite is true for Teddy Bridgewater, who seems to have a more bright future leading some other franchise for a long time, likely going to earn a pretty penny this offseason. But we'll look at some of the trajectory for the former Minnesota Vikings quarterback here with Ross Jackson on Locked On Bears. Well, Bridgewater definitely seems like the most appealing, not only of the Saints' potential available quarterback options, but I think he's kind of more widely viewed as, like, you know, the young, up-and-coming quarterback still entering his prime that could be hitting free agency. But we haven't seen, relatively speaking, a lot of Bridgewater since that injury that almost ended his career with the Minnesota Vikings. In the six starts and some odd other games he's played in New Orleans, have there been any lingering signs of anything from the injury? I mean, has he been noticeably slower or less agile, or is there some thought of at least a higher risk of re-injury, or does it feel like he is just completely past everything that happened with that knee?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hold your breath a lot when he's on the field because you care about him. You know what I mean? Like, he's a guy that everybody roots for. You don't ever want to see him go through what he went through again. But he doesn't seem to be bothered by it. I mean, he holds on to the ball long a lot of times. He holds on to the ball for a bit sometimes, a bit too long. And I think when you're a quarterback that has dealt with the kinds of injuries that he's dealt with, you'd probably be a little bit more inclined to get the ball out of your hands as quickly as possible. But it seems that that doesn't seem to bother him. We've seen him be mobile. We've seen him scoot a little bit when he needs to. But Teddy Bridgewater was never really, you know, a running quarterback or a dual threat quarterback. He was always a bit of a pocket presence, eyes down the field kind of guy. So he's continued and he's maintained that style of play. And I think that that worked really, really well for what the Saints are accustomed to when they inserted him into the offense. And I love that you brought him up as a young quarterback that's still entering his prime, because he very much is. I mean, you think about Teddy Bridgewater, and maybe because we've heard so much about him and because he missed so much time in the NFL after that injury, we kind of think of him as somebody that's been in the league forever, but he's only 27 years old. He's actually younger than Taysom Hill, who's going to be 30 by the time that we get started with the 2020 season. And not a lot of people realize that, because he's only been in the league for a few years, but he took some time off between, I believe it was high school and college, potentially college in the NFL, but I think it was high school and college, to go and do his mission and serve as a missionary overseas. And so he was gone for a large portion of some of his collegiate time, or just before his collegiate time. And that's what's ended up backing his career up a little bit. So when you look at who has the, you know, the premier talent already as a quarterback, as a pure quarterback, and as a pass thrower, you look at Teddy Bridgewater. If you look at maybe arm strength, then you give Taysom Hill the nod, but Teddy Bridgewater otherwise, in terms of arm talent with, let's say, a ball placement and accuracy, things like that, as well as just pocket presence, you give the nod to Teddy Bridgewater again. And then you think about developmental time that remains in their career. Teddy Bridgewater, despite missing all of that time with injuries, actually still has more time to develop, in my opinion, than Taysom Hill. So I think you're right that he is the more viable of the two options, just in terms of looking for a legitimate franchise quarterback. But yeah, I mean, I think that Teddy Bridgewater really is the guy that's going to be under most demand this offseason out of the three, because people know Drew Brees isn't going anywhere else. But he's also probably going to be the guy, if aside from Drew Brees, that's going to be the most important piece for the Saints to maintain in 2020.
I think some people see a little bit of buyer beware on Bridgewater. Maybe not buyer beware, but at least hesitancy, just because, you know, he has only started six games with the New Orleans Saints, and those are really the main six opportunities we've seen him since that big injury. And not a lot of those opponents have necessarily been, you know, playoff quality teams, or at least I think there was only one this year that was above 500. And then, of course, playing in that Saints system with a pretty solid offensive line in front of him, some more, the best wide receiver in the NFL, and some other pieces that, you know, you can debate the Saints receiving core all day. But do you think, I mean, how much do you think the system and situation in New Orleans picked him up versus him truly being able to show off some of his talents? And do you have any doubts about Teddy Bridgewater outside of that system on his own with another team?
That's a great question. I look at, and I talk about this on the show all the time, I look at what the Saints have to offer in terms of their offense, and I think it's the best situation for Teddy Bridgewater. They have everything that you need in terms of a great offensive line. You have an amazing weapon like Michael Thomas, and you have a productive backfield like Alvin Kamara and Latavius Murray. And, you know, look, and you've also got a safety valve like Jared Cook as well. And potentially we are all hoping for another wide receiver opposite Michael Thomas in 2020. But I think that they give him a really, really good situation to be in. And of course, you know, an offensive mind like Sean Payton, who's going to build an offense that's going to be based on what Teddy Bridgewater brings to the game and helps him with the things that he doesn't do well. You know, I mentioned him holding on to the ball too long. You saw Sean Payton start to create plays for him early on in the scripted plays, to where he had, you know, one read and go type options, where he was either looking at a quick slant or he was immediately going to Alvin Kamara or Latavius Murray, depending on who was starting that particular week out of the backfield, just to get him in a little bit of a rhythm, get him used to getting the ball out of his hand and everything. And that might be something you see get cleaned up over the offseason anyway. But, you know, when I look at what Teddy Bridgewater brings, I think you're right that there is a little bit of a buyer beware, and that does create that situation that I was talking about earlier, in which Teddy Bridgewater might find himself inclined to not go to a place that, like, let's say Miami, who pursued him heavily this past offseason, and of course where he's from, but they're going to probably draft a quarterback in this class. And they also have Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's returning, and they've been heavily connected to Tua Tagovailoa, of course, potentially trading up to grab him. And so with that being the case, does Teddy Bridgewater go to a place where he's just going to end up getting pushed out next season? Or does he stay in a place to where his future is pretty much in hand, because you're waiting for a quarterback on his way out, as opposed to having a quarterback waiting for you on your way out? And so I think it's a very, very different situation. And so I think it's a very special situation elsewhere that has to present itself in order to take him away from New Orleans, in that it offers him a starting job immediately, offers him some longevity, and offers him some offensive weapons, as well as an offensive line, and essentially all the things that can help lift him up moving forward, or at least a commitment into building those things around him as they move forward.
Well, it sounds like it's both a mix of a headache and an exciting time in New Orleans, and I wish you the best of luck trying to figure out all that all offseason long on Locked On Saints. Ross, appreciate you taking the time to join us. I'm sure we'll be in touch as the offseason goes on. Thanks again.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thank you so much. Always a pleasure to come through. And of course, as more information becomes available, happy to hop on with you anytime to sort of help you track what's going on with this wild and wacky situation. It's a very exciting time, but you're absolutely right. It can become a little bit of lots of twists and turns along the way, which I think does help make it fun.
Well, thanks again to Ross Jackson from Locked On Saints for joining us on the podcast today. If you enjoyed our conversation, subscribe to Locked On Bears to keep up with all of our daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. We're going to continue our look at quarterback options for Chicago as we get closer and closer to free agency, especially with a lot of these guys being more trade candidates than pure free agent signings. Still want to circle around to Derek Carr, maybe Marcus Mariota, Alex Smith, Cam Newton in there as well, and lining up some guests from around the Locked On Podcast Network and beyond to give us a little bit more of that local expertise on these quarterbacks the way Ross could today with the New Orleans Saints. So a lot more goodies coming your way this offseason. Then, of course, NFL Draft Talk, NFL Combine coming up a little bit later this month. That'll all be sort of sprinkled together. And before you know it, we'll be back having a little bit more real Bears football to talk about and more reasons to bear down.